You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito. I am the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. God bless you all. Thanks for joining us here. Happy Thursday to you. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Thursday with me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We sit under the authority of His Word. This is WGOD Radio. God is always broadcasting. He's got a word for you today. I thank you all for taking the time to join us, whether it's 6:30 a.m. on WWBC, 7:30 a.m. here on WMIE 91.5, 5:30 in the afternoon on both of those stations. WGOD, we're always getting the word out here. God is always broadcasting. He's got a lot to say today. Fasten your safety belts. Sit back and enjoy the ride for the next 30 minutes. Let's hear and let's break into the pastor's office here at this original church that this was written to. The church is a little city, a big city, a very rich city known as Laodicea. They've gone down in history because the Lord called them that, the lukewarm church. And he told the pastor here, Pastor, you just make me want to vomit. So that's where we're going to be here coming up momentarily. I invite you guys to church this weekend. I want to thank my associate pastor, Darren Solana, for that fantastic word this last weekend. His sermon, Watch and Pray, is available on our YouTube channel. You can watch the video from that sermon, Watch and Pray, taken from Matthew 26 and so many other places. So much other instruction from the Son of God on watching and praying for His return. There it was to watch with me for an hour. But all throughout His words here, He has warned us to watch and pray, to be watching for His return. The author of Hebrews says He's coming a second time to all those who look for Him or eagerly await Him, some translations say. So I thank Him for that excellent sermon. Here this weekend, my sermon is entitled Beware of the Dogs. It's from Philippians chapter 3. Again, warnings about false teachers that try to bring you back into legalism and back under the law. He called them dogs, evil workers. That's where we're going to be this Sunday morning at 10:30. We would love to see you. You are invited. This awesome church family of Island Community Church will greet you warmly here. I promise you that. This is an awesome group of people here that make up Island Community Church. You are invited to attend one of our services. Okay. We're in Revelation. We're in chapter 3. The Lord's dictating a letter to the Apostle John to take to the Angelos, in this case, messenger of the church in Laodicea. Let's pick it up in verse 14. For those that missed yesterday's program, we'll backtrack a little and pick it up here. He starts with a description of himself, verse 14. Now to the messenger of the church in Laodicea, right? Thus says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. So the Amen, Greek word, Amen, Hebrew word, Amen. When he says, when you read in your Bible, verily, verily, I say unto you. In Greek, that's amen, amen, lego human, amen, verily, most assuredly, meaning you can take this to the bank, meaning when Jesus speaks, take notice, because his words are spirit and they are life. We read John 6:63, you can take to the bank everything the Son of God says. Thus says the amen. The second thing he says about himself, he calls himself the faithful and the true witness, as opposed to all the false witnesses there are out here. Thus says the faithful witness, he's ever faithful, and he is the true witness. He puts his hand on a stack of Bibles. Why not? He is the Word of God. He wrote the book. He puts his hand on his own book, raises his other hand. Thus says the Son of God. He's a faithful witness, and he's the true witness. He's the witness to what? Well, there's a few things I could think of. He's a witness to the existence of heaven. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus Christ is a faithful witness. He is a witness to the existence of heaven. Number two, he is a witness to the existence of hell. He spoke more about hell than anyone else. Where he calls it, as he quotes Isaiah, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. That's a place that he promised for everyone who mistreats a child, misleads a child, anyone who leads them away from him. That's the place that he's promised where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. The Greek word asbestos. Like they used to say to me when I was a kid, you're going to need an asbestos suit where you're going. He's a faithful witness to that, to hell. He's a witness to heaven, that all those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be like he said to the thief on the cross. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. He's the faithful witness to the existence of hell. And number three, I would say, he's the faithful witness to the heart of God. As the Lord Jesus said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Also, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, for God demonstrates his own love towards us. Or let me say to you here today on this Thursday, that God demonstrates his own love towards you. That when we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us, died for you. When you were still a sinner, meaning on your worst day, not with your Sunday best clothes on, but in your worst day, in your worst state, think back of how you were on your very worst day. Maybe when other things had you in its grips, drugs, alcoholism, terrible sin, down in the very bottom, face down, stone cold dead, in the bottom of the swimming pool. God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet and still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ is the witness. He is the witness to the heart, the very heart of God, that God loves you on your very worst day. Think of how much more now that you're walking with him. But the next time you wonder if God loves you or you're uncertain about the love of God, look at the cross. Look at the cross of Jesus Christ, that the Son of God died for you and I in our very worst state. He loves you that much that he sent his Son to die on the cross for you and in your place. So that is what I would say he is a witness to. A witness to heaven, a witness to hell, and a witness to the very heart of God. Third, he calls himself the beginning of the creation of God. Now, a lot of trouble comes here this word for beginning, the Greek word arche. Well, hello, the word can mean more than one thing. Same as if someone said to you, that was cool. That doesn't mean that it was cold to the touch. Words have more than one meaning, especially all of us people that know and speak English. That's got to be a nightmare for a foreigner to try to learn English, the way that the English language is, the way that things can mean so many more than one. Well, when he says he is the beginning of the creation of God, there's more than one meaning to that word. The Greek word is the word arche. I encourage you, look up the word sometime, and you'll see it means more than just the very first thing. The word arche means, it means ruler or chief or the head of something, the head of someone. He's the head of the church, the arche of the church. It doesn't mean he is the very firstborn. It means he's ruler over, he is the ruler over creation. And the other scriptures prove that. Like Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn or prototokos over all creation, for by him all things were created. He is not a created being. He is the arche over creation. He's the ruler of creation. He is not the first being that was created. He is was not created. He's God. How can he be created? John chapter 1, verse 1, a verse that Jehovah's Witnesses hate so much they had to come up with their own Bible translation. On arche, on ho logos, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus, how could you be a created being if everything was created through you and for you? Colossians 1:16, by him all things were created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created through him, and all things were created for him. Why not? He's God. He's God the Son. When Philip said to him, you know what? He said, show us the Father, and I'm cool with that. And what did he say? He said, really, Phil? Really? Have I been with you so long, Phil, that you haven't known me? He said, those who have seen me have seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Look at me. He is the image. That's what the word icon means. An exact representation of an original. Like when they said to Jesus, they said, bring me a denarius. And he said, whose icon is this? And they said, Caesar's. Or like George Washington on a quarter, or Dwight Eisenhower on a dollar, or John F. Kennedy on a 50-cent piece, or Abraham Lincoln on a $5 bill, or Benjamin Franklin on a $100 bill. They're an exact representation of an original, like the reflection of the sun on the water is the icon of the sun. Well, Jesus Christ is the icon of the invisible God. He's not a created being. He is the ruler over creation, is what he is. So don't become an atheist or a Jehovah's Witnesses, because your Bible says that he is the beginning of the creation of God. Do a little more study before you believe that, that Jesus is Michael, an angel. He is God, not an angel. He created the angels. That's what the Word of God says, at least. He's created the angels. Jesus Christ is Lord. This is his church. He is the head. He is the arche. By him all things were created. For him all things were created. He is the amen. He's the faithful witness. He is the true witness. He is the ruler over the creation of God. He's not the first thing made. So don't fall for that ignorant lie. Once again, John 1:1, on arche in the beginning. This time it means beginning. But the word is in the infinite. It's in the imperfect tense, meaning you can't point to a time when something started. In the beginning, on arche, on ho logos. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Find out when the beginning is, and then you'll find out when God exists. You're going to get a headache trying to figure that one out. The beginnings of the existence of God, because he has no beginning and he has no ending, hence his name. Before Abraham was, prin Abraham genestai, he said in John 8:58, ego eimi. That's the same thing God said to Moses. When Moses said, what's your name? They're going to ask me what your name is. What should I say? He said to him, he said, ego eimi ho on. That is, I am the being. Not I was, not I will be. I am the being, not a being, the being. Thus is the Son of God. He is God. Now let's pick it up here in verse 15. He says, I know your works. Again, he's writing to the pastor, the messenger of this church. He says, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. Then he said, I could wish. There's a little interjection there, could wish. That means if it would matter one way or the other, I would. But apparently it's not going to matter, not going to make any difference at all. He says, I could wish that you were cold or hot. So why doesn't he just say, I wish that you were cold? Or why does he say, I could wish? And again, this is an interjection containing an unattainable wish. In other words, this ain't going to happen, would be the modern vernacular. Or if it would make a difference either way, I could wish that you were hot or cold, if it would do any good. But it's not. He said, I could wish, but even so, amen. As we read in Revelation 1, right? Even so, amen. It is what it is. So what describes the church of today? If the church, if these seven churches represent the ages of the church from the day of Pentecost revealed in the church at Ephesus all the way to the last church today, is this Laodicea? What describes the church of Jesus Christ today on this 22nd of July, 2025? It would be known by one word, and that is lukewarm. Lukewarm. The church, that's the same temperature as its surroundings is. The church was influenced by its community instead of the community being influenced by the church. That's how it's supposed to be. Not let the church be influenced by the world, but let the world and have the world be influenced by the church. That's how it should be. The same temperature as its surroundings. That would be having one foot in the kingdom and having another foot in the world. Now, this condition just makes the Lord Jesus, according to his own word, this just makes him want to vomit. The pastor of the church, of the lukewarm church, the pastor that's got one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, the pastor that lets the outside world influence the church on the inside, he says, you make me want to vomit. Pastor, when you've let this world influence you, you make me want to vomit. When you're afraid to talk about sin on the inside, to have people change, remember the power to change is present when you preach the word of God. His divine power has given us all things, Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1:3. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Why deny the power of God in your church? Why? This just makes him want to vomit. Pastor, when you've let the world influence your church, and you're not going to offer to people the power to change by preaching the whole counsel of God. So, what makes a lukewarm church? Now, my old Thompson Chain Reference Bible describes this spiritual condition as half-heartedness. So a few questions then would be natural, right? What is half-heartedness? What makes a person half-hearted? And what's the remedy if I am infected with this? If I'm a member, a card-carrying member of the lukewarm church, then I must be infected by this. If not, then I encourage you to get out and join the faithful church in Philadelphia. If you're in this church where they're not going to call sin, preach the whole counsel of God, where you're not going to give the Holy Spirit the chance to influence you in Jesus' name and turn you into a spiritual giant like King David. I encourage you to get out and go to a church that is, that the whole counsel of God is being preached. Remember, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, there's your baptism of the Holy Spirit right there. Sit under the word of God. Have the pastor preach the whole counsel of God. What's the remedy for half-heartedness? What makes a person half-hearted? What is the remedy if I'm infected? Now, remember what I've been teaching here throughout this entire series about these churches here, that although these seven churches represent seven ages that the church will go through until Jesus returns, you personally could find yourself in any one of these seven types of churches. Jesus said that the lukewarm church is neither hot in their service for Christ, nor are they cold. They're in between, because the cold church would be the dead church. We already looked at that. But this one is lukewarm, where your service and your attitude could be labeled half-hearted, like this Thompson Chain Study Bible. Half-hearted. First off, what is half-heartedness? Before that, let me read the verses again. Revelation 3:15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. You know, I would say, like my coffee. Put it in the microwave or top it off or throw some ice in it, but don't leave me in that condition, because it makes me want to vomit. Change the spiritual condition. Heat up. He said, I could take it even if you were cold. Put a little ice in you. I got something to work with. But don't say that you're one thing and not. Don't have one foot in the kingdom and one foot out. Be either all in or fall out. So what's half-heartedness? Just like the word suggests, or better yet, it's going through the motions. Like putting your hands into serving the Lord, but not your heart. Yes, you know, I like that definition. Putting your hands into serving the Lord, but not putting your heart into it. Like, let me ask you the questions. Have you ever said your prayers half-hearted? Have you ever said grace over your meals half-hearted? Have you ever been indifferent to the things of God, or ever just going through the motions? I can remember saying grace as a kid. We did this. Now, I'm not talking about the occasional time where, for whatever reason, you do or say something half-heartedness. I can remember our grace growing up as if this was just yesterday. God is great, God is good, and we thank him for our food. Amen. Now, anyone could say that on any given day, but when this describes you and when this describes your relationship with God, this is half-heartedness, and this needs to be... You need to fix this. If this is where you're at, you need to fix this. The lukewarm church is the last church that's going to be around before Jesus returns. This half-heartedness, a foot in the kingdom and a foot in the world. Half-heartedness, going through the motions. This is the problem here at this Laodicea. Maybe that's the problem in where you are attending right now. Maybe this is the problem in your very own heart. You know, we'll end it here for today. Half-heartedness. Is that you today? Do you find yourself that you're just going through the motions? Let me again remind you of what Peter wrote. For God, his divine power, he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Get back. If you find yourself in a lukewarm church, let me encourage you today to transfer your membership somewhere where the whole undiluted, full strength of the power of the Word of God is still preached, where the power to change is present. That's only going to be present when you hear the Word of God and someone still preaches about sin. How else can the power of God change if you're not going to hear what the problem is? Maybe you find yourself half-hearted. Let me encourage you just to make this right. Get back on fire again. Remember Paul's instructions out of Romans? He said to be fervent in spirit. That means to be on fire for God. Have you lost your zeal today on this Thursday? Let me encourage you to get it back. Be on fire for God once again. And that is just, he's going to give the solution. We'll get to that tomorrow here on the radio. He's going to say to just repent and make it right. If you have lost your zeal for the Lord, repent. It's very simple. Repent. Metanoia is the word for repent. Meta means a change of something. Noia is your mind. To change your mind. To do an about face, we'd say in the Air Force. Turn and go in the other direction. Leave that junk behind. Turn and repent of being half-hearted and make it right. Now we'll pick it up here with tomorrow's program. We will wrap up the Lord's letter to this pastor of the church in Laodicea. Half-heartedness, lukewarmness. You're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I believe in God the Father. This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, and I'm Danny Nugent with today's question. It comes from Luke 17:21, where Jesus tells a group of Pharisees that the kingdom of God is in your midst. Now, John, a listener would like to know what Jesus is getting at in that verse. How exactly is God's kingdom in the midst of a Jewish crowd from the first century?
Yeah, that's a very important question, and speaks to the spirituality of the kingdom rather than the temporal aspect of the kingdom. Behold introduces the Lord's shocking statement that the kingdom of God is in your midst. And in your midst, in the Greek, literally means inside. And the only other appearance of that word in the New Testament refers to the inside of a cup. So Jesus is saying the kingdom is inside. What he doesn't mean is, he doesn't mean that the kingdom is inside those Pharisees, particularly because they were unbelieving Pharisees. But what he does mean is that in a national sense, in the sense of Israel, the kingdom was there. The kingdom was present. Why? Because the king was present. The Lord was reinforcing the point that his kingdom was present, even though it wasn't material, it wasn't temporal, it wasn't military. It wasn't as if all of the promises that will be fulfilled in the future millennium had come to pass. But the kingdom, in its spiritual, internal sense, was in the nation of Israel and in the hearts and lives of those who had put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, the kingdom is still in the world. It is still in the midst of the world today and inside the hearts and lives of those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. For more in-depth teaching from the Gospel of Luke, visit MacArthurCommentaries.com.
Portions of WMIE's Broadcasting Day are underwritten by Treasure Your Landscape. Treasure Your Landscape is a licensed and insured family business based in Brevard County with many years of experience in the landscaping business. They always work hard to gain your utmost satisfaction. They bring passion and proficiency to every project with a commitment to impeccable service. Treasure Your Landscape, available at 321-749-1432. They are a comprehensive hub for all outdoor space enhancement needs. Their services include the installation of premium artificial turf, carefully designed putting greens, meticulous landscaping services, and expert paver installation. They can transform your outdoor areas into a space your family will treasure. Treasure your landscape.